Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 5, which is Introduction to the Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Upon completion of this lesson, you're going to be able to define spiritual gifts. You'll be able to identify the source of these gifts. You'll be able to distinguish between spiritual gifts and natural talents. You'll be able to explain purposes for spiritual gifts. You'll be able to explain the objectives of spiritual gifts. Explain how these gifts are distributed. Identify abuses of spiritual gifts. Identify the keys to using the spiritual gifts. And distinguish between true and false or counterfeit spiritual gifts. Our key verse is found in 1 Corinthians 12:1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Introduction. Jesus left his followers with the responsibility to extend the gospel message to the ends of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit would help them fulfill this task. In Acts 1:8 it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So Jesus did not leave his followers with such a great responsibility without giving them the ability to fulfill the challenge. Spiritual gifts are spiritual abilities given by the Holy Spirit to empower believers to be effective witnesses of the gospel. The subject of the spiritual gifts was one on which Paul taught in the early church. And he said in 1 Corinthians 12:1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." This chapter introduces the subject of spiritual gifts. Following chapters will concern the various spiritual gifts available to believers, and guidelines also will be given to help you discover your own spiritual gift. So, what are spiritual gifts? The word spiritual means characterized or controlled by the Holy Spirit. A gift is something freely given by one person to another. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to a believer to minister as part of the body of Christ. There's a difference between the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit occurred at Pentecost, Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came in answer to the promise. And in John 14:16 through 17a, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth." So the gift of the Holy Spirit has already been given in answer to this promise. And gifts of the Holy Spirit are supernatural abilities that the Holy Spirit gives believers to enable effective ministry. Mark 16:20 says, "And they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following." Gifts and talents. There is a difference between spiritual gifts and natural talents. A talent is a natural ability inherited at birth or developed through training. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability which did not come by inheritance or training. It is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to be used for specific spiritual purposes. It is possible that a natural talent may be sanctioned or approved and blessed by the Holy Spirit after one becomes a believer. When this occurs, the talent then becomes a gift as well as a talent. For example, a person may have a natural talent in administration because of training he has received, and after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this natural talent may be sanctioned or approved by the Holy Spirit, and he may be used in the spiritual gift of administration. Spiritual gifts provide spiritual capabilities far greater than the finest natural talents. Although we should use all our natural talents for the work of the Lord, we still need spiritual gifts. Purpose of the gifts. The purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are listed in Ephesians 4:12 through 15, which says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So according to this passage, the purposes of the Holy Spirit are to, one, perfect the saints, two, to promote the work of the ministry, and to, three, to edify Christ and the church. The objectives or goals of spiritual gifts are that we will become united in the faith, that we'll develop our knowledge of Christ, that we develop in perfection, which Christ as our model, that we'll become stable, not deceived by false doctrines, and that we'll be mature spiritually in Christ. The Trinity and the gifts. You learned earlier that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity of God, and all three persons of the Trinity are involved in empowering believers with spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6, it says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." So the Holy Spirit, God, and the Lord Jesus Christ are all mentioned in this passage. Their involvement in spiritual gifts is shown in the chart in your book. The first verse, verse 4, we deal with the Spirit and diverse gifts and different gifts. In verse 5, we deal with the Lord, diverse administrations, and different ministries. And in verse 6, we deal with God, the diverse operations, and different gifts are used, the different ways gifts are used. Spiritual weapons. The gifts of the Spirit are also given to the church as weapons of spiritual warfare to conquer the spiritual forces of Satan. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." So since the battle in which believers are engaged is spiritual, then spiritual rather than natural weapons must be used. Believers sometimes go into spiritual warfare without knowledge of these weapons. Anytime you go to battle without your weapons, you cannot expect to win the fight. This is why it is important to understand spiritual gifts. They are part of the spiritual weapons God has provided. Distribution of the gifts. Each believer has at least one spiritual gift. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And in 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 11 it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So because every believer has at least one spiritual gift, we each have the responsibility to discover and to use our gift. You will not be judged by how many spiritual gifts you have. You'll be judged by your faithfulness to use the spiritual gift or gifts you've been given. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25:14 through 30 confirms this. So there are many spiritual gifts, but no believer has all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We find that in 1 Corinthians 12:29 to 30, it says, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" A person may have more than one gift, but no one has all the gifts of the Spirit. If he did, then he would have no need of the others in the body of Christ. The abuse of gifts. A spiritual gift from God can be abused, and to abuse a gift means to not use it properly. You can't abuse spiritual gifts by, one, not using the gifts given to you. The Apostle Paul told Timothy this in 1 Timothy 4:14. It says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery." And in 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Another way is by attempting to use the gifts not given to you. While ministering in Samaria, Peter and John met a man named Simon, who wanted to have the powerful gifts he saw demonstrated, and Simon offered money to obtain these abilities, and Peter said this in Acts 8:20-21, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter." So spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. They cannot be obtained by any other method. You cannot just decide you want to have or use a certain spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit must give it to you. On another occasion, there were seven sons of a chief of priests who saw the miracles of the Apostle Paul, and they tried to use this gift to cast out evil spirits. And that's found in Acts 19:15-16. It says, "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the men in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." So it can be dangerous to try to operate in a gift without the Holy Spirit's anointing. Another one is by not using the gifts properly. In 1 Corinthians 12:14, Paul deals with the proper use of spiritual gifts. To summarize the teaching of these chapters, we find in 1 Corinthians 14:33-40, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and let all things be done decently and in order." So God is not the author of confusion, and where there is confusion, the gifts are not being used correctly. Spiritual gifts can also be improperly used when you manipulate people to gain wealth or use them for your own selfish satisfaction rather than ministry to others. The guidelines for the use of the gifts which Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 12:14 prevent confusion. You'll have an opportunity to study these in the four further study section in this lesson. And another one is glorifying your gift. When you glorify your gift, you consider it more special than other gifts. You begin to see the gift as greater than the giver. Now, many gifts come from one source. The Bible indicates there are many gifts which come from one source, and the source of spiritual gifts is the Holy Spirit. He gives and operates these gifts in the lives of believers. In 1 Corinthians 12:4-7, it says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." In Romans 12:6-8, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, that he may show mercy with cheerfulness." So there's one source of spiritual gifts, but there are many different gifts, and no gift is more important than another. Your position in the body of Christ is compared to parts of a human body. Just as the human body, the smaller parts, which such as the eye, have important functions, the seemingly small gift is often quite important in the functioning of the church. Some gifts involve greater responsibilities, but no gift is more important than another. Some parts of the human body have greater responsibilities than others. For example, the eye lets you see what is around you. It guides you when walking. It permits you to read and see and enjoy God's creations. The eye has greater responsibility, but it is no more important than the big toe, which provides balance for walking. The guidance of the eye for walking is useless if you have no feet in which to walk. The eye's function to permit reading is useless if you have no brain to understand what you've read. Sometimes misunderstanding arises in the church when believers do not recognize the spiritual gifts of others. For example, one person may have the gift of giving and may not understand another believer who does not give as liberally. One may have the gift of administration and become very impatient with people who are less organized. each believer should use his spiritual gifts to work together with other believers who have different gifts. When this happens, the church functions effectively as a body of Christ. Stewards of gifts. You are only a steward of spiritual gifts. A steward is someone who does not own that with which he works. He uses something given to him by another person. He uses on behalf of the person who gave it to him. And you are a steward of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, let a man so account of us, of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Part of the mysteries of which you are a steward are spiritual gifts. They are given to you by the Holy Spirit to minister effectively for Jesus. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As a steward, you'll be judged on the basis of your faithfulness to use the gifts you have been given. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The gifts of the Spirit. The main passages identifying spiritual gifts are listed below. So you might want to read each of these before you study the following chapters. These verses introduce the various gifts. They are found in Romans 12, 1 through 8, Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 31, and lastly, 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. So remember that these gifts are special abilities from God to minister in different ways. While there may be some evidence of these in all of our lives, it does not necessarily mean we have a certain gift. For example, all believers are to give to the work of the Lord with tithes and offerings. But the gift of giving is an unusual generosity prompted by the Spirit of God. All believers have a measure of faith according to the Word of God, but the gift of faith is a special ability to believe beyond that of the ordinary Christian. Our gifts for today. Some people claim that all of the spiritual gifts listed in the Bible are not for the church today. They believe that some gifts like prophecy, tongues, miracles, etc. were only for the early church. These people say that after the church was established and the New Testament was written, some spiritual gifts were no longer needed. They often use 1 Corinthians 13:10 to explain their belief, which is 1 Corinthians 13:10, which says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. They say that the perfect revelation of God's word was written, that there's no longer a need for tongues, interpretation, or prophecy. They say that once the church was established, there was no longer a need for confirming signs and miracles. What they fail to note is that acknowledges it is also mentioned the same passage as being vanished or done away with. 1 Corinthians 13:8, it says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. If we use this verse to say tongues, interpretation, prophecy are no longer needed, then we must also say that knowledge is no longer needed. This passage actually refers to a future time when the perfect kingdom of God is established on the earth. Since what is perfect has come, we will have no need of any of the spiritual gifts then, because, according to Revelation 21:3, it says, he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So we'll have no need of messages through prophecy or tongues or interpretation, for we'll be dwelling with God who inspires such messages. We'll have no need of the word of wisdom of knowledge. We will be living with the source of knowledge. We will not need discerning of spirits. For according to Revelation 21:27, it says, there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There will be no need for gifts of healing, for according to Revelation 22:2, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life for the healing of the nations. Also remember that the purposes and objectives of spiritual gifts is found in Ephesians 4:12-15. The purposes were for this, for perfecting of the saints, for promoting the work of the ministry, and for edifying Christ in the church. So the purposes for which the gifts were given still remain. The saints still need to be perfected, and the ministry still needs to be promoted to the ends of the earth, and Christ and the church need to be edified. The objectives are that we will, one, be united in the faith, two, we'll develop our knowledge of Christ, three, we'll develop in perfection with Christ as our model, four, we'll become stable, not deceived by false doctrines, and five, we'll mature spiritually in Christ. God would not have spiritual gifts for these purposes and objectives and then remove them without these things being accomplished. Are all believers united in the faith? Has everyone developed fully in the knowledge of Christ? Are we all perfected? Are all church members stable and not being deceived by false doctrines? And are all church members spiritually mature? So the answer to all these questions is no. These objectives have not been accomplished for this reason. We know that all the spiritual gifts are still for today. God gave spiritual gifts to accomplish certain purposes in the church. He will not withdraw any of these gifts without these purposes being accomplished. The Bible also says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, according to Romans 11:29. This means that God will not change his mind and take back a spiritual gift or calling he has given. The key to using gifts. In 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul gives the key to using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He introduces the subject in 1 Corinthians 12:31, and he listed some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and then said, "And yet shew I unto you a more excellent way." So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 explains the more excellent way. So you want to read the entire chapter in your Bible. This chapter gives the key to using spiritual gifts. That key is love. You can have prophecy and gifts of healing and faith and giving, etc. But without love in using these gifts, they will not be effective. Gifts are profitable when used, are unprofitable when used without love. Speaking in tongues becomes like noisy clanging. Every gift is worthless. It profits nothing unless it is used in love. Love is the more excellent way in which the gifts are to be used. The gifts become a channel through which God's love can flow to those around us. Love is the key to using spiritual gifts effectively. A warning, Satan's counterfeit. Satan counterfeits the gifts of the Holy Spirit. A counterfeit is something that imitates something real, but it is not genuine. Satan is a deceiver, and the Bible says he sometimes even appears as an angel, according to 2 Corinthians 11:14. In the final days of time, there will even be a satanic counterfeit of Christ called the Antichrist, and that's found in 1 John 2:18 through 22. Much counterfeiting of the gifts is accomplished through the occult. For example, the word of knowledge is counterfeited by witches pretending to foretell the future and the unknown. A witch is a person who seeks to know things and perform acts through supernatural sources other than God. Their source is Satan. And counterfeiting of the gift of the discerning of spirits is done by mind reading. Even miracles are counterfeited by Satan, according to Exodus 7, and will be performed by the Antichrist, according to Revelation 13:14. The Bible also speaks of false prophets. In Acts 13:6 through 12, the question is, how do you distinguish the counterfeit from the real? The counterfeit does not fulfill the scriptural purposes of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Read again Ephesians 4:12 through 15. Any true gift of the Holy Spirit will accomplish these spiritual purposes and objectives. Counterfeit gifts do not agree with what the Bible teaches about Jesus. When anyone ministers a gift, what do they say about Jesus? Does it agree with the written word of God? 2 Corinthians 11:3 through 4 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind shall be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. If ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." So you can also recognize counterfeiters by their personal characteristics. These are listed in 2 Peter 2 and the book of Jude. So you want to study these chapters in your Bible to help you distinguish the real from the counterfeit. So that's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.